Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, good morning. My name is Dr. Cottle. I am your host of Women in Business Radio. Thanks for joining me this morning. And today I start or kick off the radio summit that looks at the physical health and mental health wellness for women entrepreneurs. This summit has been implemented or is being implemented to celebrate the International Women's Day and to celebrate the accomplishment of women across the globe who are entrepreneurs. Women who have chosen entrepreneurship as a vocation and is forging a livelihood through it, supporting their families, themselves, and their communities. This morning, I have with me a guest whose name is Rosalie Musco, and she's a professional practitioner in the area of complementary treatment, an approach that combines traditional care modalities and alternative care modalities to deal with mental health and physical health wellness. Rosalie Musco is a registered nutritional consultant practitioner. She's a professional speaker, and she's a founder of Health in Harmony. I hope that our broadcast today will provide you with a lot of information regarding looking at our profession, looking at our mental health and physical health wellness as women in general. And so, without, you know, saying more, I would like to introduce you to my guest, Rosalie Musco. Hi, Rosalie.
Hi,
how are you? Thanks for joining me.
Oh, very well, Dr. Cottle. How is it going? And I'm really pleased to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you. I'm glad that you accepted. And thanks again. Thanks for being here. And I want to say I was able to post the information that you sent and share the article that you sent me on wellness, the elusive healthy balance. So I was able to post it in my group so that people
Great.
Can access it. And so before, you know, I think I want to get right into the discussion. And one of the first questions I want to ask, or I should first say to you, to please introduce yourself and say how your professional expertise and experience relates to the discussion that we are looking at today. What is the name of your business, and how long have you been in business, and who are your clients?
Well, I've been in business since 1995 after graduating from the Workplace Wellness and Health Promotion Program at Centennial College. I really enjoyed what I learned there. I had been looking into alternative health for many years for my own health and wellness, and really cemented for me once I studied about that program. And I began speaking in the workplace, especially about stress relief and nutrition and well-being. I was so interested in nutrition that I went back to school a few years later to study holistic nutrition from the Canadian School of Natural Nutrition. And I've been working with medical doctors since 1998 when I graduated from the School of Nutrition, and working with their patients, sometimes at the headache and pain relief clinic, also for a psychiatrist with her patients, who she uses nutrition in her practice a lot. And also, I've worked with other doctors who've had patients that needed help for cholesterol and weight and other matters. I think building energy is the one that seems to be in common with them all. So that's what I've been doing. I did teach stress management at the college, in Centennial College, 1999. And that gave me a very good base in stress management, and I wrote a book about it called Frazzled, Hurried Woman, Your Stress Relief Guide to Thriving, Not Merely Surviving. So I've been very busy since that time, but first I was a singer and for children. I made records for children, and I learned all about stress, having a family and having to perform, and actually it led me to this field. And also my son got ill and also led me to this field, and I was going to get him well and get me well. So here I am, and I'm still doing it, and I'm loving it, and at my own pace, and to keep my wellness. So that's a little bit about me.
Thanks, Rosalie. You mentioned that your son, you got into the area to look at your own mental health and wellness and your son's. Now, in my research, I have found in developing this event, I have found that many professional practitioners who are in the area, either experienced directly or indirectly, have had some experience with mental health and physical wellness. Hence the reason for them getting into the area to care for others. Is that the case with you, and can you share a little about it?
Yes, it's very true. I was very stressed at myself at working. I was part of a duo, and I had a manager and another person. We were in it was a partnership and a livelihood. And here I was performing for other people's children, sometimes taking me to different parts of the country, and I left behind my own children at home. And it was not easy. It was not easy for me. So that was getting to me, and it was making me unwell. And plus, my mother was dying, and not being able to be there for her the way I would like to have been. So there was many things that led to my stress, and I started to look for ways to help myself, and I looked for relaxation techniques and got some psychological counseling and started to look at what I was eating and looking at many different areas, and that led me to my work as I am doing now. But at the same time that I had a lumpectomy for a pre-cancer little spot on my mammogram, the very same week of that lumpectomy, we get a phone call from overseas. My son was on a Middle East youth tour, and he had fainted on the top of a mountain and had gone paranoid and was in a hospital in a straitjacket. And they phoned us to say we'd better come and get him and bring him home. So that was the start. Those little things of were enough to make me decide to pursue more health and wellness for myself and for my son. And I'm glad I did, and we're both in better shape today than we were at that time.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that personal experience with the show. I realize that stress seems to be a very common, thread in terms of people's health and wellness. And I think what you just talked, you have been through a lot at the same time, being overworked, dealing with your mom's and your mom's, on the part of death, dying, and your son, plus your cancer, scared that you have your I think it's
a lot.
We
all have things in life.
Because of all those different things, it's a lot of stress.
Yes, it is. And it's how we deal with stress. I mean, we can't always change what's going to happen to us in our life. And really, it's about how we manage our own health and our own well-being and keep strong so that when these things do happen to us, which sometimes they just do, that we can survive it and that we can come out on top instead of being wrecks, like a train wreck. And I think a lot of women are just overcommitted. I see it a lot. Women are doing a lot of things. We're also very talented women, We can do more than one thing. And so we want to we're so excited by what we can do, what we want to do, and that we're in the workforce, and that, it wasn't like that years ago. So we're sort of like birds let out of a cage. But we sometimes just take on too much. And I see it a lot. And all the nutrition patients I've ever seen, it's a big problem, especially for women with families.
Yeah. I just want to go off a little bit, kind of looking at the core, some of the factors that keeps us, I think, also in bondage, so to speak. Because in my research also in preparing for this, I found that society's norms and their belief systems and the overall culture that we belong to have an effect on how our mental health and physical health is perceived. And because research shows that there's a lot of social stigmas and a lot of taboo attached to it.
Yes.
And as a result, it prevents us from taking action and talking about our mental health and physical health wellness. And most of us tend to suffer in silence as a result of that. We are ashamed to talk about it. We are ashamed to seek help. We are ashamed to seek help proactively. And so what do you have to say? What can you say about this? And again, I want to add before we go on, it's not just like the North American culture or the Caribbean culture. It seems to be a cross culture. It seems to be something that is common to cultures, common to people. And so what do you have to say in terms of how can women get rid of the limiting belief systems that we have developed through our socialization so that we can deal positively with our mental health and physical health wellness?
Well, having been through it with my son and having been sort of very uptight and nervous myself, which led me to a lot of physical problems, I know that it's really important to face it head on and not be ashamed. And, I mean, it's easier said than done, especially if you're in the workplace, you feel that you're going to lose your job or you feel, you know, that you won't be as valuable to others, but it's not true. The more we've been experiencing, the more valuable you are because we are real people and we feel and we, you know, we have these, you just can't keep that mask on all the time. It's not good for us. It's really not very good. You end up keeping it all inside, bundled inside of you like a ball, and it's going to burst. So it's really a shame. And I think women usually are their very, very good supports to each other, I found. I know some women may not be, but the majority, I find, are very, very supportive of others. And I think we have to reach out to each other, and we have to, you know, I mean, everyone's got something, either with a child, a parent, and it's okay. It's okay to talk. It's okay to get advice from people or to get professional help as well. I think people, especially people who are in the public eye, are afraid to do that, you know, afraid that they'll be seen as less of something. But I think it makes us more of a whole person once we do bring it out and look at it and go forward and find ways to deal with things. And, you know, I think it's going to take time for society to change. It's not an easy thing. And there is still stigma around. But with all the mental health programs and you know, and also a lot of it is maybe biochemical, and then it doesn't seem like there's such a stigma. If there's something that you have, a lack of a nutrient like vitamin D or vitamin B12, well, that doesn't seem like such a stigma to me. It doesn't mean that you're crazy. It means that your body is not absorbing nutrients from their food, or you're not getting enough of the right food, and it's really maybe more about biochemical problem than it is, you know, like that you're not thinking properly. Sometimes we just need a little bit of help. And, you know, some people need medication. Some may need to also add certain nutrients. And, of course, diet plays into that. So then it's not such, to me, it doesn't seem like it's such a big stigma, and people could look at it a little differently. We just got to fix up our little biochemistry.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And why is mental health and physical health wellness important to the success of women entrepreneurs and women in general? And can you share, a little bit about that? And what care modalities are available to help deal with mental health wellness?
There's so many, really, and I think that a lot of them we know, but what we know and what we do are often two different things. We know it's good to get to bed on time. We know it's good not to sit at our computers all night. We know we need to eat properly and drink water. We know we need to, you know, take time for ourselves and sort of just time to do nothing or to read or to relax, and we don't do that. We know it's what we need to look at and see what it is that we're missing in our life. What is it? Like, what is our problem? A lot of people are really, you know, mired down in many things and maybe just dealing with one thing at a time. And but they are connected because the physical body can cause a mental problem and mental problems can cause physical problems. Yeah. So we need to keep balanced And in that little exercise that you've posted, it's a little way people could see where what area of their life that they feel they're not balanced. And it's not just mental, physical, it's emotional, it's looking at intellectual, it's looking at your financial life, looking at your spiritual wheel, spoke of the wheel. It's looking at your, you know, all these different things that we have to contend with all the time. And it's a lot to deal with. And so we've got to look at what area is really pulling at you. Maybe you have a sick child and that, and nothing else matters. So you got to get help for that. And people are embarrassed and they don't want to talk about it. But mental health is key. We got to keep our minds sharp. We've got to keep ourselves in good mental and physical and emotional condition. And it's a struggle, and it's looking at it's a balance too. So, you know, maybe you work a lot tomorrow, and then the next day you take off a little time. You know, it's about finding what works for you.
Yeah. Thank you. And I have another question here. Can you share with us, what does traditional medicine plus alternative medicine, what's the difference between, you know, utilizing a sort of complementary approach to medicine and alternative care? I know traditional medicine basically first began using an acute approach to dealing with mental health and physical health wellness, but today they have incorporated a more an approach that looks at both the traditional and the alternative care. Can you share, you know, how that has changed and in what way does it benefit the individual?
Well, there are, you know, complementary. What is complementary? Well, complementary is perhaps we know medication today is considered traditional. It wasn't before medication was invented. Before that, the Quakers looked after mentally ill patients with good food, giving them kindness, dancing with them, taking them, you know, like looking after them. They were compassionate. And actually, the recovery rate before all this medication was 50%. And I don't think that medication can boast that today. So, unfortunately, we need to look at the roots and look at what we have done for people. There's homeopathic treatments. There's, you know, doctors of homeopathy. There's naturopathic doctors who could add some nutritional vitamins, minerals, things that you're missing in your life. And whether the traditional path will include everybody, it depends on the person. It depends on the doctor. It depends how much that doctor is interested in that area. And I'm hoping, through the foundation that I am affiliated with, the International Schizophrenia Foundation, ISF, mentalhealth.org, and it promotes complementary care, orthomolecular treatment for mental illness. And I'm co-chair of that foundation. I'm proud to serve as it. And so it's really... it's a work in progress. I think that it's going to take time, but I think it will come. I think it will come where we'll have more inclusive. But they are, you know, they're showing that depression responds to exercise now. We know that. And it also that if you're low in vitamin D, you'll be depressed. If you're low in B12, you'll be depressed. So the science is changing, and let's hope that in the next 10 years we will see a lot of changes, and I'm working for that day. That's what my life's work is now, to work for that. And so it's just a work in progress. It all started back in the 50s with a psychiatrist looking at complementary ways to help people with niacin and with other nutrients that could help the brain. So it's going to take time. And we can't expect changes. We are training doctors through our foundation to, you know, treat this approach, and it's very exciting.
Okay, then. Thank you. Thank you for sharing both your personal experience, your professional experience, and I really appreciate it. I have another question for you.
Sure.
Are there preventative measures? I know you counted a lot, and you talk, you identify certain things that we can do, like sleep, eating well. You know, can you talk a little more about the preventative measures that, as women in business, we can use to prevent illnesses?
Well, again, it's looking at our balance. It's looking at it's also getting a physical checkup. I'm not against that. I think it's very important. We need to know where we stand. We need to know, you know, how's our blood sugar? Is it balanced? Because very often, if we have hypoglycemia, you can seem like you're all over the place. Your nerves will be on edge. You'll be up. You'll be down. You'll be crashing. So we need to look at our physical well-being, and we need to get a checkup. So the first thing to do is get a physical checkup. And I think that's what a businesswoman, you know, you're looking at process and you're looking at things you need to do. That's one thing you need to do for your own health. Don't let it go. You think there's something wrong, if there's a lump, don't let it go. Check it out.
Okay,
you can find other ways to deal with it if you want, but check it out. Find out what's going on.
But
knowledge is power.
Of course it is. How important is support? We know knowledge is power, but how important is support in our treatment?
So important. So important, Dr. Cottle. We can't do it alone. We must have other people to help us, to support us, to that we feel that we belong, that we feel that we can talk to someone. It's shown that befriending for women is like medicine. It's like medicine to us. And this is done, it's been studied, and it is shown that people do better when they have a support group. You can't expect people with mental illness to get well by themselves. It doesn't happen.
It doesn't. And how important is self-love? We know it's high. We just talk about, you know, having that support, having people. But how important also is your perception of yourself, how you love yourself, whether your self-worth is high, you have a high self-concept, your self-esteem. How important is that also in our treatment, in our maintaining our balance?
It's so important. It starts there. We have to start loving ourselves. It's all these wellness, as they say, if we have a wellness wheel and all the various spokes on the wheel, well, it's all surrounded by self-love and self-responsibility. It's sort of like a duo. So we must take some kind of responsibility for ourselves that, yes, you know, this is where we're at right now. And, yes, we can go forward with some self-love. Yes, it's okay. You are okay the way you are right now. It's all right.
Yeah.
Whatever you are, whatever you have, whatever problems, whatever, you're okay. And then go from there. And we must say positive things to ourselves.
So
you know, like positive self-affirmation, so important to help ourselves. You know, I'm okay the way I am right now.
Yeah.
I am loved. I'm lovable. I can reach out to others. I can do it. I can accomplish.
Yeah.
I can... We must do this for ourselves.
Yeah.
So important.
It's very important. So thanks for sharing on that. My time, I think, is boiling down. And so I have another question here for you. Before I go to this question, can you describe for me or speak a little bit on what the word wellness means? And what's the implication of wellness, I think, in terms of to health and well-being?
Well, wellness was really a very age-old modality that went from years back from people looking at your very well-being. And it started a movement in the 50s by a lot of key people, such as Dr. John Travis, who started the wellness movement and got everything sort of going about what it means and how we have to look for this balance in our lives and look at the different areas. And it's an active state. It isn't static, like, oh, yes, now I'm well and I'm going to put it aside. No, it means that it's ever-changing. You know, you're never the same every day. And it's what you put into it that makes you well. And it's also your vision for the future. You know, it's like I remember studying wellness, and there was a picture of a runner, and he was running, and he looked exhausted, and he looked stressed, and he's running and running and running. And then there was a picture of a woman in a wheelchair, and she was happy, and she was wheeling along, and to me that sticks in my mind. that wellness is more than what we do to be well. It's our vision, and it's our excitement with life, and it's our very our joy, of life. And are we doing things to make us joyful? What are you doing to make yourself joyful? And I think that as women, we need to say it's okay. It's okay to find pleasure and to find joy in life. You know, maybe we've been told not to do that. But we need to, you feel like going for a swim, go for a swim. Feel like going for a walk, get out there and, be with nature. Like, we need to find some, things that we love to do. You love to knit? Knit. You love to sew? Yeah. Sew. Whatever it is that you love. I love to swim. And so I'm getting back to my swimming and cooking. I'm taking cooking classes. Yeah. And so, like, do what you love.
Yeah, do
it's
what
okay.
you love. And that's a great way to end, I think, is to do what you love. And if you can, in a couple of minutes, 2 minutes or so, what advice will you give a woman in business to respond to her mental health and physical health wellness so that she can continue to successfully thrive in her business?
Well, I think, number one, keep enough energy for yourself. Help others. We're all wanting to help others. Keep enough energy for yourself. That's number one. Consider self-love as compassion for yourself. It's okay. It's just compassion for yourself. And think what areas that you want to work on and take a few immediate action steps to get you started. Because once you get on even one or two things, you'll feel energized. And we'll recognize that willingness is the key ingredient to change. We need to have some willingness to go forward and to make some changes. And sometimes we get stuck. So just grab on something and talk about it, make sure it's right for you, and take a plunge, and you won't be sorry. I've never been sorry for looking after my mental, physical well-being, emotional well-being. You're never sorry when you just take those steps. So that's what I just advise people to do. You need a checkup, go get one. You need to speak to a psychologist, pick up the phone. Just simple things.
I just want
to wish everybody good health and to love yourselves as much as you love others.
I want to say thanks, Rosalie, for joining me and for sharing the information that you shared, the knowledgeable experience, and I hope that people listening or my guests listening will gain, a lot of information or understanding of mental health and wellness. And I want to ask you one more question. What else do you have to share? Do you have anything else that you would like to share with our audience? Maybe take a minute and you can say, what you want to say at this point.
Well, I also think women are so interested in their children, and I'm giving programs for super nutrition for growing up strong. I'm doing it in the schools. There's even a grant available, and if anyone wants to have me come in there to speak to parents, I'd be happy to come into any school that's Ontario, at least, and speak with a grant. I'd be happy to do that. And I think that we need to we cherish our children if we have children, so I think we need to look at and see the best things we can do for them. And this is just my way of helping other children. And there's a mindfulcharity.ca for better mental health for children that I'm chair of. It's called mindfulcharity.ca. So that's what I like to leave everyone with.
Okay then, thank you, Rosalie. Thanks for joining me. Thanks for sharing. And I want to tell my audience, I want to say thanks for joining me. And for those who were listening in archive, I hope you find this discussion on mental health and wellness very informative and educational. Again, I want to remind you, this is a week-long summit, radio summit. I say join me tomorrow. I invite you to join me tomorrow at 11, where I will discuss or continue the interview with another expert in the area of mental health and physical health wellness. Have a great day.
Thanks for having me, Dr. Cottle.
You're welcome, Rosalie.
And people can check my site, healthandharmony.com.
Yes, and yes. So join, you can check my guest, Rosalie Musco. Her website is Health in Harmony, and she's at healthinharmony.com. So you can check her out also. So thank you again. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.